Jeff was just here. Where'd he go? Romans 11. The whole of chapter 11 is the discussion of the salvation of a remnant of Israel. Even though they rejected the Messiah, remember there's God has reserved 7,000 or whatever it said, and that. But it must be by grace and not by law. And so we've gone through this whole thing now for the last few days about the stumbling block, and God has closed their eyes and closed their ears, etc. So now we're in verse 11. What?
11:11.
I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. For if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Now again, he's simply saying, just as he says in many, many other places, that not only is the human race dead, the Jews are dead. And so everything has to be connected to, in the New Testament, the resurrection from the dead. And you can't be resurrected unless you're going through all that again. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches become broken off, then thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into the good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that the blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now this scripture that we just read about all Israel shall be saved is where Haggai and all these other guys that believe in the two covenants essentially get their doctrine. But the to me, and what it's saying is all Israel shall be saved. The true Israel, there's no question, the true Israel shall be saved. The true Jews shall always be part of the mystery of God. The bride shall be saved, is what it's saying there. And who's ever a part of the bride, whether they be Israel or Greek or Jew or Gentile or whoever, that's who God is concerned with. But he's saying don't magnify yourself against the Jews.
It's that thing that we do when we read like in Exodus, we're going like, how could they be so stupid?
Yeah.
It's us too.
Or how could all of them have yelled crucify him? Well, you would have yelled crucify him. He is despised of all men, including you and I. So anyway, that's the predicate. That's what this is saying. Essentially, again, in this case, it's specifically about the nation of Israel, but it's saying don't take a stand. Amen?
This is the juncture that the flesh wants to take the stand. It's you can make it the dividing line where you're good and people are bad.
Yeah. For this is my covenant with them when I shall take away their sin. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as you in times past have not believed God, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so these also now not believed, though through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Now, the reason we sort of sped through Romans 11 is it's all about this, that singular issue, because he's talking to the Gentiles who were taking pride. And the fact, and remember, this is to the Romans where all that was taking place. I kind of sped through it to get to Romans 12. And Romans 12, to me, is the central, most important book in Romans, because it defines with clarity the purpose, the only purpose that we have. And it's and remember, there's no chapters or verses. This was a letter, so the chapters and verses came later. But the verse we just read in the next three verses should get rid of all these people that say, "Well, I talked to God yesterday, and this is what He told me." What?
Well, before we move on, I just as I was listening to the words of Paul and saying what I was hearing was, don't be looking at over here and judging and coming away from this feeling justified or puffed up or alive or something. I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but it reminded me of where it says the man who looks into the perfect law of liberty but straightway forgets what manner of man he was and then goes about his own way. It's like looking into this perfect law of liberty and seeing who Jesus is and who I'm not. And then forgetting that manner of man that I am and somehow coming away from this book puffed up and justified and feeling right.
Or going and killing these people. Throughout history, they ignored all this stuff.
Like, coming away, taking my face out of this book and feeling anything other than repentance.
Yeah. Yeah, again, it's all basically about be you a doer of the word and not a hearer only. But the doer of the word is one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and remains, because Christ will then do. But if you look into the perfect law of liberty and you see your face, i.e. you see what you should do or how you should act or how you should be, then you're a hearer of the word and not a doer, even though you're trying to do. That's the great mystery of James. All right. So, what?
I just got it.
Good. Verse 33 again. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Now that introduces chapter 12. You should come away from chapter, everything we've read thus far. You've gone through the confusion of the basics of 1 through 6. You're dead in baptism in chapter 6. Then there's this confusion. What I want to do, I can't. What I don't want to do, I do. What I do, blah, blah, blah. Then you go into Romans 8, which is therefore now no condemnation. And then we moved into 9, which is more expansions, and 10 and 11. Now 12 comes. 12 through the end, 12 through 16 are about living. And as we'll see, it makes it clear to me, at least, I couldn't be a believer without a community. That's my own weakness. But the introduction here is, you never know what God's going to do next. Don't. He doesn't need your help. He doesn't even want your help. In fact, if you're trying, he can't fight your efforts. Now, that just goes against everything, because we want to have a part in it. Our part is repentance, and that's it. Amen?
Yeah. I was thinking of having a Bible study and calling it, you know, his ways past finding out, Bible study where you're trying to find out his ways.
Skippy should write about that.
Maybe I will someday.
All right.
Maybe I just will.
Because of everything that Paul has just said, he then says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. I beseech you. I beg you on my knees. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What?
That says it all.
Amen. Except that people read this, and they say that they're finding what is the will of God for their life.
Yeah, they put the armor on. They say, "Let's go."
But they try. Well, my will of God for my life is I be this or God, blah 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 blah. The will of God for every man's life and every woman's life is Jesus Christ. The call of every man is Jesus Christ. The purpose of every man and woman is Jesus Christ. He is the desired one of the nations, of all people. He is the reason that you were created. He is the purpose of time and space. And so, but if you read anything into, well, what is God going to do in my life, or what am I supposed to do, or blah, 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 you just get totally and completely deceived. Then you have to, and it never works, but you have to act like it's working.
makes it worse.
Now we're going back now to Genesis, because this is where all this is obviously started. Go to Genesis 2.
When you said that just then, it sounded so weird to hear the word, the phrase, mm-hmm. my life.
Good.
It's almost laughable. What is the will of God for my life?
Yet there's whole seminars and books and denominations devoted to that. What, Gary? You're doing it again.
I'm just kind of going off on here, the my life thing. My life is so big and huge. Now I've got Jesus to partner up with.
He's on my side.
Yeah, it's just...
Do you remember your days at Christ for the Nations about now?
Great days.
Great days.
Expensive. I was prophesied over. I'm going to have a great, great ministry to youth.
When was this?
It's coming up.
Yeah,
it's been about 30 years now. I'm waiting for it to happen.
Oh, how many? I mean, for those of us that have spent any time in the charismatic community, you get one of these prophecies. I used to get them by mail and. All the time. It's just crazy. They're just crazy crap.
That is unbelievable. I got one from Robert Tilton.
How'd that work out for you?
That's right.
He didn't know what he was saying, but he was right.
So what was the prophecy over you, Ronnie?
I forget what it was, but whatever it was, it hadn't happened. Yet. Or ever.
No, can you see how the carnal flesh loves that? They just love somebody to come along and tell them, this is what's going to happen. And you see it every day on the television on these guys.
Plus, I can tell Ronnie the reason it hadn't happened is because he hasn't, you know, kept it in his wallet and you know,
afraid of
it. Well, we know
affirmed it every day.
No, he hadn't given enough.
he hasn't given enough.
Clearly.
And a secret. Don't forget the secret.
Chapter 2, verse 26. On the sixth day.
There is no Genesis 6.
I mean, chapter 1, verse 26. Excuse me.
Aha!
And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, if you listen to Gruffalo Dollar and those folks, Kenneth Copeland, then the purpose of being a Christian is so that you will have dominion. If you listen to the Reconstructionists like Pat Robertson and what's that guy whose name I can never pronounce?
Well, Gary North,
no.
Theologian guy.
The Dr. Rob D.
Yeah, that's the guy, the theologian guy.
Yeah, that I can't pronounce.
That's why I haven't really, you know.
He hasn't made it.
He used to have a spiffy name.
Dr. Reeby D.
But they believe, and they've written, that the purpose of being a Christian is to take over everything, to take over the government, to take over the school system. This is what's been going on in the Republican Party. Starting back in, I guess, in the 70s and 80s, the strategy was that they began to take over school boards. And then just increased and increased and increased. And they even say things like, if you know, turn the other cheek if somebody hits you. Well, that was for that dispensation, but now we're going to, you know, it's just put them in jail and kill homosexuals. I mean, it's unbelievable. Because they believe that the purpose, and it's not, you got to hear this, it's not, they're not trying to do something that they think is wrong. They are doing what they believe is right. And this is why it's the same thing as the Muslims are doing. And so it's imperative that we understand and not be deceived by this thing of power and dominion. And the fact their whole movement is either called a Reconstructionist or the Dominionists. And just sometime if you want to go through the exercise, plug in Dominionist or Reconstructionist and see what they're saying. Because it's so attractive because it's attractive to them because it's the same, this idea of having control and power. And it's they forget the fall, they forget. But anyway, that's not what we're going to talk about. He said, "Let us make man in our image and our likeness." Now, image, is the Hebrew, you've all heard this before, most of you. Image is the Hebrew word tselem, T-S-E-L-E-M. And it's variously translated as, it doesn't mean you look like God. It means, a tselem is a glove. I mean, it's the image or the of a hand. And so it's the same thing as saying we were created to contain him. But then it says likeness, and that I forgot the word, but likeness means of the same nature, of the same being. And so the whole idea is this is why Romans 12 is so important, is because it tells us that we were created, the human race was created to be in this container for God. And then Jesus Christ is a fulfillment of the likeness. And so it's the image and likeness. So all we are, the best we can be, is a friend of the bridegroom, as we've talked before. But all we can be and all our function and all our usage is to be an empty vessel. And that emptiness has to be manifested to be in agreement with what's going on in your mind. So that's why the book of Ecclesiastes is so important, because you have to see the futility of all human effort, of all your effort, of all your plans, of all your ambitions, so that you can voluntarily empty everything. God could smack you and you'd be empty forever, but that's not the purpose. He wants the purpose of his people to be in, he wants you to confess the Lord Jesus, to say the same thing. And it's done because we were created in his image, and now in him, in Christ in us, it's his likeness. That way is sure. The purpose is guaranteed if we just get out of the way. And that means get out of the way totally. You cannot give breath to any part of your life. You cannot give breath to how you feel. Now, you can't even start this until you find out you've come to the end of yourself. But if you have, oh, I wish that would happen, and oh, this is what I'd like to do, then you better go do it quickly. Or at least be able to, again, men live for 800 or 900 years at first. Why? Because it took that long to find without community, to find out that there was no there. But now, because there's at least every Seder group, every minion is supposed to have at least 10, but no more than 20. so that you can partake of the experience of other people. So you don't have to experience it. You can see it by empathy. And if you can't, if you don't have empathy, then you pray for it. So that you don't have to go through what everybody else has gone through. So you can learn from their experience. And that's why it's critical that there be vulnerability in the body. And no matter what your experiences have been and no matter how bad you think they are, they've got to be opened up. Because what is darkness to you is light to somebody else. And without that kind of an interchange, not just psychobabble solutions, but real, not philosophical philosophizing, but real openness and confession. That's why it says, confess your fault one to another that you might be healed. But healed doesn't mean, oh, I'm just, my boo-boo is not sore anymore. It means perfect, lacking nothing. And so if we have simply an academic approach to Christianity or to Bible study, then that's like less than nothing. If you have a psychobabble approach, it is, I don't even want to go there. What you've got to do is make it real. And you've got to have the discernment to see whether it's real or whether they're just somebody just talking to hear themselves talk. And you've got to pull out those that are silent so that the body can benefit. So you don't have to, each one of us don't have to go through everything to find out that there's no there there. Now, again, we can see why people like mega churches or why people like big churches in general. The three reasons people go to mega churches are, number one, it makes them feel better about themselves. Number two is they enjoy the music and the ambiance or it's entertainment, really. And number three is anonymity.
Yeah, they can hide.
And those are the three reasons you shouldn't go. Will you close that? Just pull it. Just pull it, it'll close, it'll stay closed.
Could you stand there and hold it?
So it's important to see this thing. It's image, but it's likeness. And he has dominion. You can go ahead and close the door. That's you don't have to worry about it.
Speaking of all this wind, yesterday I was thinking of the wind that goes, the air, you know, is this big mystery in which we are. And it goes through all of us, regardless of whether we are even here or not, you know. I mean, if we're here, it goes through us. The same air. We share the same air.
Amen. The same air that Jesus shared.
And if you sit there thinking that you're totally by yourself, you're just totally wrong.
All right. Let's go back to Romans 12. And remember about the image and likeness. So I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Now this is the place where everything gets screwed up. Because we can't imagine there can be a living sacrifice, because a sacrifice has to die. So it's a living sacrifice, because we were all the time created to be in the image, to contain God. Now, so you present your body a living sacrifice. Present means to yield totally, 100%. It's the word peristemi in Greek. It just means yield with no conditions. Yield with no aces in the hole. Yield with no, you know, plan B. And that's what I've waited for every time I meet somebody, are they going to be able to yield with no plan B? Not to me. Problem is, 99.9999% of the people always have a plan B. And so The yielding then is conditional. And it's the opposite of what this says. Now, if you're not ready to yield, don't worry about it. But there must come a time when you've seen the end of everything else, that there's a yielding to this is where I'm going to fall into the ground and die. I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, service is this great word that it's used. It sounds like laetrile, but it's not. It's the word that means it's the highest order of service that is done in the Holy of Holies by the high priest. It means that you're at the top of the pyramid. There is no thing that you can do that is higher as a human being, that is higher in the economy of God, than present yourself a living sacrifice. That's it. That is the top of the food chain. That is the genetic history of everybody in your whole background that brought you to this point, to the top of the pyramid. That is why everything came before you, in order that you might yield yourself as a living sacrifice. That's why everything that happened, happened by His mercy and by His will and by His, not His permissive will. There's no such thing as a permissive will of God. That's the biggest illusion in the universe. To bring you to the point where the yieldedness is possible. Everything else is equally, it's just equal. Every bad, good, whatever is equal to bring you to this point of saying, I present my body a living sacrifice, totally 100% yielded. And this is where we're going to concentrate for the next few days, on Romans 12. Anybody have any response?
It's all about love, what you're talking about, and how God's love, how His yieldedness. I mean, that's all He is about. And the last part I was hearing, the best we can do is in Christ, believing in Him, and then by having His faith, then it can happen. There's no way I personally could accomplish anything that's been said. But in Him, it all happens.
The only thing you have to do is see the emptiness of your own effort. That's it.
Yeah, He's already accomplished it. His sacrifice is what this is all.
Amen.
About.
There's nothing else. It's that's why it means when we talk about He is the way, it doesn't mean He's the way with your help. He is the way. He's never going to show you the way. He is the way. He's never going to tell you the truth. He is the truth.
We can get in the way.
But yeah.
You do.
Wade's world.
You can't hear this incredible stuff and then bypass Christ to achieve it. That's not it.
Oh, you can try. A lot of people do.
Then it's religion and you're off to the races.
But again, you've got to see the minute you yield to your own emotions or your own ideas or your own thoughts or take a stand, the moment you do that, then His humility causes Him to empty. Go take the lowest possible seat. So that's why the idea of ministering to self is just goofy. It's the stupidest thing you can do, to have the slightest concern about yourself.
To whom you yield your members. I don't even remember how the rest of it goes, but it makes it pretty clear that there's, you know, there's an in and an out. There's a right and a wrong. There's a who do you yield your members to?
Yeah, that's interesting. It's not a what.
Who?
Yeah, it's God, or Satan, slash himself.
It must occur, not just intellectually. You must see and know with everything in you that self-realization is the meaning, the essence of sin. And that's why there's trespass offerings and sin offerings. The trespass offerings are for the screw-ups and the mistakes, and the sin offering is for who you are. And until that sin offering is manifested, you can't even get in the temple. You can dance around on the outside pretending you're religious, but until a sin offering is manifest, you can't get even to the brazen altar. You certainly can't get to the mercy seat. And all it takes is just to be honest to yourself. You know you're a screw up. You know that your thought process is from the depths of hell. So why give it any importance? Oh, I've got this great idea. Well, go do it then. See how it works out for you. Oh, what I'm always tempted is somebody comes up with something they want us to do, and then you'll get all this money that you can use for your ministry. The last thing in the universe God needs is money. He needs yielded vessels. And you gotta hear this. There's not one thing more important. With regard to you as a vessel, there's not one thing more important than any other thing. It's faith that worketh by love. Love is the motivator. If it isn't, then just get out of the way anyway. Go shoot yourself. Oh, I'm so depressed, I'm going to commit suicide. That's the highest form of pride there is. I'm so important that God's sacrifice of his son wasn't enough for me. John? Amen? Anybody else? Kevin?
If this doesn't work out, there's always a dominionist.
Yeah. Some fallback plan B.
Take a big guy. Thank you.